Burnside, and thank you, Brother Oscar, once again. Let me ring up, too, for you on your stepping in there to fill in. Thank God Sister Sylvia is here, and you don't have to fill in now. But you did a fine job, Oscar. It's not easy to try to do more than one thing at the same time. Many of us can't multitask. And some of us have the ability to multitask. Oscar, thank you once again. This morning, we want to say, as we always say, God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us look to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you have blessed us to be here, and we thank you that you have allowed us to be able to come out to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed enough to be here, and we thank you for the leadership here, and we thank you as well for the membership and all of their families. We pray for those who are sick and shut in, and we pray for those who may be on their way as well as those who are traveling. We continue to pray and ask you, O Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen each and every one of us and continue to bless us as you see fit. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. Thank you for this day, O Lord, and bless this day for us, O Lord, as we move in to the services right now. O Heavenly Father, be with us, watch over and keep us. In the name of your son, Jesus, let us all say amen. Okay, we got that straight. This morning, I want to make an announcement to all of those of you who may know Sister Mary Washington, who is the wife, who was the wife of the late brother Lloyd Washington from the West Side. I know Sister James know her, and perhaps some of you others of you may know her. Sister Mary Washington passed on last week, and there will be a funeral for her on Friday at Rainer, if anybody's interested or if you know her and care to go. I think it's from 10 till 11, and from 11 till 12 and 12 to 1, if anybody cares to go over there. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the first book of, from the book of James, chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This morning, we want to talk for just a few minutes on help from above. According to this text, we can learn a lot about God. We can learn that we have a Father who is a perfect gift giver. We learn that he is from above. Most importantly, we learn that he is the only perfect gift giver. He gives perfect gifts, I should say, and the only perfect gifts come from above. These things help us to know and understand that what we have here are not perfect, and shall one day it all shall pass away. For they are material and they are perishable, while the things from above are eternal, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18. Who does not want to receive gifts that fade not away with time? Whatever gifts we get down here from one another, from man, won't transfer with us up to heaven. So we get our help from above. Help to cause us to be ready, should cause us to be ready for the day that's coming, and that day shall come. So let us look for a few minutes on this matter. Our birth is from above. Our physical birth is from earth, but as a Christian, we should be more concerned about our spiritual birth, and that is not of human, and that it's not of human origin. We cannot, no matter how hard we try, produce this birth that's from above. John chapter 1 and verses number 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But verse number 13, here's the key, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has not given the power to man to save his own soul. Instead, it's through the help from above. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 6 in the verses number 63. It is the spirit that quickens, or in other words, make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. This birth from above awakens those who would live for Christ. Ephesians 2:1. And you have not he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Remember how that Jesus explained it all when he met Nicodemus in John chapter 3 in the verses of 1 through about verse number 10, but especially in verse number 5 and 6, where Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then verse number 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Where does the Spirit come from? Well, it comes from God. Where is God? He is above. He is in heaven, thereby giving us the gifts and to help us from above. Man cannot offer such a good and perfect gift. It comes only from heaven. In order to receive these gifts, one must come to the Lord. No way can we do it by ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses number 8, the Bible says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, or not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So when we look at this text and we think about it for a moment, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. God offers his gift to all mankind, and all we have to do is to accept them. We may accept them by meeting the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism. When I think about it, church, when I look at this matter a little further, I look at it and I think about how good God really is to us. Think about it. You didn't have to get up this morning. You didn't even have to wake up this morning. You wasn't able to feed your own self without the help of God giving growth to the food that we eat each and every day. But God is good to us. God is very good to us. He gives us good and perfect gifts. He gives us help from above. And I remember Psalms chapter, I believe it's around Psalms number 121, about verse number 1, where the Bible says, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. And the hills represent heaven. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. When you think about it, church, the help that you give yourself is not equal to the help that God can give us. So we get our strength from above as well. It's true that Christians get weary. Oh, just think about it for a moment. How many times have you been weary? How many times have you wanted to just throw up your hands and say, I quit. I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. Well, many times we fall back into the very same lifestyle that we were in before becoming a Christian. But God gives us strength that we need in order to fight on. In Isaiah chapter 40 in the verses number 29, the Bible says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. They say, when life gives us lemons, we ought to make lemonade. But sometimes life doesn't give us good lemons. They give us rotten lemons. And sometimes you can't make lemonade with rotten lemons. So you've got to consider the fact that sometimes we all may get in a situation where we need some help. Life can throw many things at us. There are some that we just can't handle without the Lord's help. That's why in this verse it says that he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. He gives power to those who are ready to give up. Even though we may be weak within ourselves, we are much stronger in the Lord. Watch verse number 30 and verse number 31 of that same text of Isaiah 40. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But young folk don't think that they can fall. Young folk think that they have all the strength and all the energy in the world, and they don't need anybody but themselves. Young folk have a way of thinking, I can do it all by myself. But you know what? I'm not going to put all that on the young folk, because the old folk sometimes think that too. Old folk think that I can do this all by myself, and I don't need anybody's help. But sometimes God in his infinite wisdom has to let people fail in order to see they can't trust in themselves. But every day, everybody should remember in verse number 31 of that text of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And when you find yourself needing help, just wait to ask the Lord, and then just wait for him. Wait upon the Lord. God has enough grace that he can fix whatever we need fixing for those who wait upon him. You know, and sometimes I think about the goodness of God and how really good he is to us. You know, I can find myself in a situation, Brother Oscar, I find myself sometime wondering, what's the matter? How come I can't work this thing out? And then I realize to myself, it's bigger than you. I realize to myself, you need God's help. How many times have you been in that situation? How many times have you told yourself, that you need to ask God for his help? Some of us are very proud. Some of us are so proud we don't think we need to ask God for help. Some of us don't think that God can do any more than I can do. But the same one that made the world and made everybody in this world knows us better than we know ourselves. When you think about it, if God made me, and let me show you just what he did. And you know what? He's going to do the same thing for you if you just keep on living. I used to have all black hair. Now I look in the mirror and it's not only spotted, it seems to be more going to the other way than it is to the way of blackness. And I think I mentioned this before, I've tried to do the dye bit. It doesn't work too long. So I just let God have his way and let the gray hairs turn as they will, come as they will. And then I ask myself this question. I make this statement to myself. You ought to be glad that you can see this gray hair. You ought to be glad that God has allowed you to get here. And I know that every now and then you get an ache or a pain and you begin to wonder to yourself, am I really getting that old? But God has left us here, and you're going to have some aches and some pains sometime. And as you get older, you're going to find that you need to learn to bend your knees a little bit more. You may have to bend your knees, and if you can't bend your knees, just humbly ask God in prayer to help you get through whatever you're going through. For he is our Lord and Savior, and he has enough grace that he can fix whatever you have going on in your life. Because God is the perfect gift giver, and God gives us help from above. And when I think about it even further, I ask myself the question, what about those who didn't get to where you're at right now? I look back in the life of my own family and how many folk have gone on before me and didn't get to where I am in life. And then I also think about some of those who got much further than I am along, and I thank God for them too. All I'm saying is you've got to learn to speak to God that you may continue to be blessed by God. Our hope also comes from above. Life down here can leave us in disarray and disenchantment sometimes. We sometimes have feelings that make us want to throw up our hands in the air and give up. But this is when Christians need to be at their very best. The Word of God offers us encouragement in Colossians chapter 1 in the verses number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you, guess where it's at? In heaven. Church, those that's help from above. When we come to the end of life's road down here, oh, and don't worry, you're going to come there. When the doctors say there's nothing more that medicine can do for us, when we are left to face the arms of death, we may receive and or may recall the words that Jesus said to Martha on the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11 and verse number 25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We can have this same hope that Jesus can help us if we but just believe on him. Somebody might say, well, how can we be sure that Jesus said it? Well, in James chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible said, blessed is the man, not just any man, but blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Oh, life down here causes us grief and heartache sometimes. But isn't it good to know that God can cause us through his help to live again? When the help we get down here just don't seem to be helping. When man's help just don't seem to be doing what we want it to do, we must turn to God. We must learn to look to the help that comes from above. It's good to know that the help from above is far greater. It has greater promises with a far better outcome than any of man's help. The psalmist put it this way in Psalms 39 and verse number 7. He said, my hope is in thee. And then in Psalm 71 and 5, he said, thou art my hope, O Lord God. How long must we wait for this hope? Well, Romans gives us a hint into that. It says, but if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Just wait on it. That's all we got to do. Wait on it. I know some of us don't have the patience to wait for God's help. Some of us don't have enough patience to wait on ourselves. But nevertheless, we must learn to wait for God, because God is not going to move any faster than his normal movement is until we understand that God moves in his own way. We've got to learn to just be patient. To a person that dealt with the trials of life, to a person that's waiting for help from above, it should be easy for them to wait on the Lord, who is our helper. Somebody say, well, aren't we not his helper? No, we're not. Psalms 54 and verse number 4 speaks of that. He says, God is my helper, mine helper. God is our helper. God doesn't need our help. We need his help. So when you look back once again at the text, it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good to us. God is just so good to us. When I woke up this morning, I said to myself, Lord, thank you. Because as I always say, when I go to bed at night, I don't know if I'm going to get up. You don't either. And every time you think about somebody not waking up out of their sleep, you ought to say to yourself, thank you, Lord. You ought to be thankful that God has blessed you to get to where you're at. And God is the perfect gift giver. And I know something about gift giving a little bit. I know something about gift giving a little bit in the fact that folk on earth sometimes don't like to give good gifts. You'll give me the tie that somebody gave you 5 Christmases ago and call it re-gifting. You'll give to me your old sweater that you can't wear anymore and say, I thought about you and I decided this may help you. And that's not good. Now, if I ask you for it, that's a different story. But when I ask you for it, you're going to realize how much you really do like it. But God is not like that. God is the perfect gift giver. He gives every good gift, and every perfect gift comes from above. And I just thank God that we can stand on this earth today, look up to the heavens, and know that God lives there. Know that God is in heaven, and He is our Savior, and He is our Maker. Thank God for the gift that He gives us. Hebrews 13 and 6 speaks of it. He says, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Thank God for the gifts of help. When we look at that same Psalms that I spoke of a minute ago, but you look at verse number 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord. Not only my hope, but my help comes from the Lord as well. And I think about all of the things that could be going on in my life. And I like to use me as an example because I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know what's going on in my life. And I think about all the things that can go wrong and some of the things that did go wrong. But I look at the things that have went right for me. And I thank God for all of those things that went right. I even thinking for the things that went wrong, because through the things that went wrong, I can see why. I can see righteousness in those things that went wrong. I can pull a lesson out of them, in other words. That's what I'm trying to say. I can pull a lesson out and learn not to do something maybe that I did before that caused these things to come upon me. And then I look at the Bible, and I remember what it says in James chapter 1 there in verse number 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But in verse number 6 ties it all in. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And then verse 7, for let not that man thinking he shall receive anything of the Lord. You've got to be solid when you go to the Lord, in other words. You want a gift from God? You've got to be solid in asking God for his gifts. You've got to be solid in asking God for his help. You've got to know that the Lord is able to do whatever we need to be done in our lives. But will he do it? Well, if you don't ask him, he may never do it. But then on the other hand, when I think about some things that go on in the life that we live down here, I see heartache. I see pain. I see suffering. I see all these things down here. I see people that really don't like one another. I see people that literally hate one another because they don't know God. Because if they knew God, they would remember what the text said. It said, to love thy neighbor as well as thyself. It says, we've got to love one another. But somebody doesn't love somebody. And I tell you, church, if you don't love somebody, you've got a hard road ahead of you. Because you've got to love somebody. You've got to learn to love the Lord, our Savior, first of all. But then you've got to love your neighbor. If you want this good and perfect gift from God, you've got to do what the Bible tells us to do. And I know what some of you are saying right now. Some of you are probably saying, well, I try to love everybody. But some folk I just don't seem to be able to get along with. You've got to love them too. You've got to love that person that you hate so much. You've got to learn to accept the fact that he is a human and one of God's children. Although sometimes he may not act like it, he's still one of God's children. And you've got to learn to love him if you want that good and perfect, those good and perfect gifts from the Lord. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to do what the Bible tells us to do down here on earth. You see, we have no say-so on where we're going. We can only live our lives the way the Lord tells us, and we hope we get to heaven. But see, one day we're going to face the Almighty God, the judgment day. And when we face that judgment, we're going to have to answer for every idle word and every deed that we've done in this life. And to some folk, it ought to frighten them. It ought to frighten them because I stand the chance of losing a good and perfect help or a good and perfect gifts from God. I think that sometimes we think that, well, I don't believe, some of us anyway, I'm not speaking of any Christians because Christians know better than this, but some of us think there is no heaven anyway. And they'll tell you. But I believe there is a heaven because the Bible describes heaven. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit live in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand, sitting at the right hand of his Father. He was standing at one point, but he sits at the right hand of his Father. And I tell you something. Every time things go on in our neighborhoods, some of us decide, well, I'm going to move because it's getting too bad over here. But yet, when you think about your life experience in the Bible, you can't see that you have to change in order to get to heaven, which is a far greater neighborhood than you can ever move into. So I ask you this morning, have you been to the Lord in prayer lately? Or have you just been kind of floating along? They'll pray when I get to church. You've got to pray for yourself. You've got to ask God for yourself because I don't know the things that you need like you know the things that you need. And if you want this good and perfect gift from the Lord, you've got to speak with him from time to time. Now, I know that God loves us, but do you remember in the Old Testament when God repented that he had made man? God can get mad at us. And some of us, it's easier than others for him to get mad at us. But if you want to have help from above, you've got to ask the Lord that his blessings may be showered upon you, and you've got to talk to him in order to ask him this. Then when all is said and all is done and you come to the day of death, when they roll you into a funeral home or into a church house for your funeral, it's too late then. It's far too late then. You've got to do it while you still can breathe the words and breathe out of your mouth and the words can come from your lips. You've got to ask the Lord to help you. And Lord, when I'm not strong, be strong for me. When I'm weak, Lord, be strength for me. When I'm broken down and I've lost the youth of my life, Lord, I need your help more than ever now. When I can't move far enough, Lord, that I can only take baby steps, keep me moving, oh Lord. When I used to be able to go without losing my breath, Lord, give me breath to carry on. I need strength from the Lord above, and so do you. When time shall be no more, then so is your life gone from that point on. You can't live your life over again. You can only hope that you have this hope in Jesus Christ that is in heaven. So how, preacher, do I get to be a part of this? Well, you can become a part of the Lord's body. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But I know you. Somebody might say, well, I did that 40 years ago and life hasn't gotten much better. Well, you're still living. Mm. And you're still here. So now it's time to come back. You remember the prodigal son? Remember how that he left home? Trying to find, I guess, what he thought was better. He said, I want what part falls to me. And I'm going to go out. And I guess he thought he was going to live better. I don't know what his line of thinking was. But he wasted his substance on riotous living. Then he realized, and this is where we come in as Christians. Sometimes we have to realize that life over there is not the same as life over here. And we need to come back home. Once we wake up and realize I need to come back home, then you must get up and go back home. This man said to himself, I'm going to go to my father's house. I'm sitting here eating with the pigs. And my father has everything I need to suffice me. I can go to my father's house. We can go to our father's house as well. Our father's house, we can call upon him. When life gets so rough that you can't see right from left, left from right, then you need to go to God. When you can't see right from wrong, then you need to go to God and ask him to show you righteousness. Whatever situation you may be in today, ask the Lord to help you get out of that situation. And then come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you can gather strength. And carry on. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.